you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. A weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Why do I feel like I should be playing Schools Out by Alice Cooper right now? You know, when I was a kid, we didn't get out of school for the summer until the end of May. And by that, I mean the last day of May. Or maybe it was the 1st of June. But we didn't go back until the 1st of September. Or the first working day after Labor Day, something like that. But these days, the kids seem to get out about a week before the end of May. And then they go back in the middle of August. Now, I'm sure that school administrators would be quick to point out that they get more days off during the school year than we used to get when I was a kid, and that's why summer break is so much shorter than it used to be. But somehow, it just doesn't seem right to me. I mean, school is supposed to start in the fall, and the middle of August is not fall. Is it just me? Ooh, that's a dangerous question to ask, isn't it? Is it just me? Somebody's bound to say, yeah, it's just you. But I don't think it is. Just me, that is. I remember feeling like summer vacation was magical. Well, just like Uncle Alice said, no more pencils, no more books, no more teachers' dirty looks. That was just the greatest feeling in the world when I was a kid. And I must admit, I kind of feel sorry for today's kids. You know, when they have to go back to school in the middle of one of the biggest vacation months of the year. And don't get me wrong, I fully realize there's a lot of educators out there who believe there shouldn't be any summer break at all. All you have to do is do a quick search online for debate about year-round school, and literally thousands of articles will pop up about how students forget a significant amount of what they've learned over summer break. And teachers will be the first ones to tell you how difficult it is to get the kids to focus back in on work after 2 to 3 months away from the classroom. And believe me, teachers love summer break just as much as the kids do. And there are some experts that feel very strongly that we should break the school year down into quarters instead of semesters and give the kids a week or two break between each quarter. That way, they'd be more likely to retain the lessons from one quarter to the next, and they'd never really get out of the habit of learning. Now, I'm not going to weigh in on that because I'm not an educator. In point of fact, I'm not even very well educated, so I'm certainly not qualified to voice a meaningful opinion on all this, but I just remember how liberated I felt on the first day of summer every year, and I'd hate to see today's kids lose that sense of freedom, that unbridled joy. So happy summer vacation to all the kids and the teachers, not to mention the parents. I can also remember how relieved my wife Cindy and I were when school let out for summer every year because we were very involved in our kids' educations, and it was liberating for us, too. We didn't have to worry about whether the kids were keeping their grades up or doing their homework. So it was a nice break for us, too, just like it was for the kids. And, of course, summer break meant it was time for family vacations and trips to the swimming pool. When I was a kid, my parents didn't have a swimming pool in the backyard, so going to the pool was a big deal for me. In fact, I can remember one of the girls I had a crush on in high school. Lisa was her name. She had a pool in her backyard, and she always threw a big party at the beginning of summer and invited a bunch of us over to play in the pool. My family didn't belong to a country club. We didn't even have a neighborhood pool. So going over to Lisa's pool was a real treat for me. Plus, like I said, I had a crush on her. She didn't feel the same way about me. I was just another guy in her class at school. I mean, we were friends, but nothing more, even though I definitely wanted it to be more. And I even recall I saw her during one of my rare trips to a country club pool with my buddy Rusty. His family did belong to the local country club. And I remember this well, and I laugh about it, because right before I ran into Lisa at the country club, I realized that the old worn-out swimming suit I had on had a hole in it right in the middle of my, how shall I put this delicately, rear end? Yeah, I was mortified. And then Lisa saw me. She smiled and walked over and wanted to talk. Wouldn't you know it, one of the few times she acted like she wanted to spend some time with me, I had a hole in the butt of my swimsuit. I just remember stuttering, and I stammered out a few sentences of meaningless drivel disguised as conversation, and she wandered off with a weird look on her face. I was absolutely crestfallen, and I couldn't wait to find a towel to wrap around my waist. It was a devastating moment for a teenager in love. Oh, yeah, and by the way, in case you're wondering, I've been to every major reunion my high school class has ever held, 10, 20, 30, 40, and 50, and I've never seen Lisa, not one time. But summer break not only means vacation season and swimming pool season, but it also signals the beginning of grilling season. Now, I've said this many times before on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, so I know what you're thinking. Randy, we live in Texas. Grilling season is year-round. And of course, you're right. We have mild winters, and we don't even have to pack away our outdoor cookers during the colder months, you know, like they have to do up north. We grill burgers and steaks and such all year long. I get that. But in other parts of the country, where the weather is much more severe in December and January and February, grilling in the backyard for a Super Bowl party is absolutely unheard of. So it should come as no surprise to you that June is officially designated as National Grilling Month. We in Texas may grill outside year-round, but those poor folks who live in the frozen north, those folks literally have to store their backyard cookers inside during those winter months. And June is when a lot of them start to pull those cookers back out and start to use them again. It's a little bit like the kids getting out of school for summer break, you know? Being able to grill in the backyard means no more snowstorms, no more ice, no more freezing. Ain't that nice? Uncle Alice would be proud, don't you think? Okay, maybe not. At any rate, this is the first day of National Grilling Month. And what could possibly be a better topic for the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show? There are so many different angles we could take on the subject of grilling. And as I've said many times before, I'm not an expert outdoor chef, and that makes me the perfect host for this show because I am an amateur, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. So I'll ask the stupid questions that most of you are too embarrassed to ask for fear of looking foolish. But as one of my early mentors once said, there are no stupid questions, just stupid answers. His point was simple. Don't be afraid to ask for guidance. Just be sure you're asking someone who really knows what they're talking about. That's why I regularly turn to one of the most accomplished at-home chefs, backyard chefs, outdoor chefs, whatever you want to call him, one of the best I've ever known, Greg Berlocker. Greg is our executive producer here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, and his fascination with cooking under an open sky and an open flame, as we say in the intro to our show, his fascination with outdoor cooking started at a very young age. Plus, he's pursued that passion throughout his life. So experimenting with new recipes and new cooking techniques, that's something that Greg has spent a lot of time doing. And that's why we're going to feature Greg on today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show as we pay tribute to June as National Grilling Month. I want to begin by focusing on outdoor cookers. And when I say outdoor cookers, I mean outdoor cooking units, not outdoor cooking chefs. There are so many different varieties of outdoor cooking units that many people have never even considered. Sure, we've all heard of charcoal grills and gas grills, propane and natural gas, and smokers with offset fireboxes to slow cook meat like brisket or ribs or even chicken. But what do you know about deep fryers for catfish fries or shrimp fries or even Thanksgiving turkeys? You know, you can also use those to do crawfish boils. Of course, you have to wash out the aluminum pot really well first. And then there are those newfangled pellet grills that everybody's talking about. And like I said, I'm no expert, so we'll let Greg do all the talking. And I'll just stand over here in the corner with a towel around my waist and sincerely hope that nobody notices that I've got a hole in the butt of my swimsuit.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video or a new website or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspa's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspa's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspa's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspa's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspa's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hams.
We are way overdue to host our guest on today's show. He is not only our favorite foodie, he's also the executive producer of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, Greg Berlocker. How are you, boss?
Man, I am doing great, Randy. It's so good to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you, too. Now, when I refer to Greg as the boss, there is actually a story behind the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, and we've never told it before. Greg and I met when a mutual friend, and I use that term loosely, he was hosting a show he called the Texas Outdoor Cooking Show, and it was an unmitigated broadcasting disaster. And we'll call this person he who shall not be named, but he came to us here at Edgewater Studios to produce the show for him, and that's when I met you. But I've never quite figured out how you got involved, so tell us that story quickly.
Well, a mutual friend of the person who shall not be named and I introduced us and said, hey, Greg, would you be interested in doing some selling? And it just... it didn't work out. We'll leave it politely and just say that. And we kind of let it sit fallow for a while. And I reached out to you and said, you know, it's been 6 months now. I was like, why do we need this other person to make this work? Why don't we just do it ourselves? And you're a Marconi Award-winning DJ. And I'm like, well, I love to talk about food. And I think we've got a great show.
And the thing that most of our listeners probably don't know about you is that you were intrigued by this whole thing for its culinary potential as much as anything else. So where did that interest first develop for you personally?
You know, I was very blessed. My mom and my grandmother were just phenomenal cooks. And they didn't use recipes. They cooked family, you know, style meals and things like that. Nothing over the top. And we always, at family functions, always had really good food. And that was just part of family. And I've shared this with you before in Boy Scouts. I happened to be in a troop where it was kind of a badge of honor to be the patrol cook. And as a young scout, I was around some guys that were pretty good cooks. So I took an interest early on. And even through college and right out of college, I was always willing to try something new. And then when Sally and I got married, we love to travel, and New Orleans and places like that were our favorites. And of course, it's hard to go to New Orleans and find a bad meal. So we were exposed to a lot of great cuisine earlier in our married life. So she's been a very forgiving person. Is that she never complains. She lets me cook, and the boys, our two sons, Jacob and Travis, never complain about the results. So I've been very fortunate.
Well, cooking over an open flame, like a campfire, is quite different from cooking on a grill. Have you ever taken a portable grill to a Boy Scout camp, or is that considered cheating?
No, actually, it's now the norm.
Ah.
Gosh, when we were growing up, you had to learn how to build a fire if you were going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
If you couldn't build a fire, you would go hungry. Well, then kind of the Coleman stoves came in, and then Boy Scouts kind of regulated that, because with liquid fuel, like what we used to call quote-unquote white gas, those were dangerous because they could have flammable liquids and could cause fires and injury. And Boy Scouts really shifted to propane stoves, and which are much safer. And gosh, I'm kind of disappointed that the art of building a fire has withered away.
Wow.
It's not nearly as prevalent, but also cooking on a fire is not nearly as prevalent. And you have to do some things different if you're really going to cook over an open fire, which is start early. You don't want to cook over a raging fire. You want to let the wood burn down to embers. And then you can actually control the amount of heat based on the number of coals, either on top of your Dutch oven or below a pot. You use a shovel or something like that and kind of move embers in and out as you need them. But gosh, it can get scorchingly hot, and you can burn your food in an instant if you're not careful. So, and then one of the other reasons why I think why Scoutmasters went to that is that you don't end up with black soot-covered pots and pans that you have to wash.
Well, grilling over an open flame is also grilling, and today's installment of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is commemorating June as National Grilling Month. I was initially interested in hosting this show because I like to grill outdoors, but when I stopped and thought about it a little more, it occurred to me virtually everyone I know has at least one outdoor cooker in their backyard. So how many outdoor cookers do you own right now, Greg? I know this has evolved over time.
It's always a constantly changing number. We've gave one or two of them away.
Oh.
So Sally bought me a pellet grill for Father's Day, and I like to cook low and slow, but it's hard for me personally to get up at midnight to cook a brisket.
Yeah.
And then to go add wood every 2-3 hours and to check the fire. And there are people that think that pellet grills are cheating. You know, they're affectionately known as stick burners. So they believe that you got to build a fire to really be a barbecue. And the pellet grill is nice. However, it's not really a great thing if you want to sear meat. If you want to, you know, grill a ribeye or some burgers, I still have a classic Weber charcoal grill that I think is just a wonderful cooking tool. I've got the fish fryer, which can double duty as a crawfish boiler. And then I've got some portable propane where I can take out in the boat in case we want to cook or things like that. And then I've got a propane smoker that my son gave me. That's very, very convenient because you can set the heat and forget it. But you need to add chips to add the smoke. So there's a bit of regulation there.
Okay, I'm up to 5. I've been counting on my fingers here. And I ran it, counting my thumb. I count 5 so far. Am I right?
That's about right. I got rid of the great big offset heavy steel smoker. It was just so big that I couldn't roll it around anymore. And we needed some extra room in the garage. So it had to go.
Are you parking the car in the driveway?
Well, we were at the time, but now we have more room. So,
so as the Doobie Brothers said, what once were vices are now habits. Is that right?
Yeah, it's. I really enjoy working with different cooking mediums. I miss the propane half of the big grill. I don't have a propane grill anymore, which I do miss. One of my favorite things to do on the propane grill was fish, and planked salmon is just a wonderful recipe where you soak the wood and you put the salmon on it and you put it over the propane grill, and the propane, the heat actually starts burning the board and the bottom of the board, and the smoke curls up around the edges of the board, and you put some sort of aluminum pan over to catch the smoke. And then when you close the lid, you have the combination of both the heat, like you would be baking something in the oven, along with this wonderful smoke flavor that's it just adds a nice nuance to the food. And for some reason or the other, Randy, I can't seem to get the hang of the planked salmon when doing it over a charcoal or a wood fire. It's just, it's too intense.
Wow.
And the salmon is okay. It's just better if you do it over the propane. It's more evenly done, more evenly cooked. When I do it over charcoal, bits and pieces of it are burned. And anyway, it's just a shame to waste a beautiful fillet of salmon like that.
Well, which cooker do you find yourself gravitating toward most often?
I'm still infatuated with the pellet grill. We do a lot of things now outside because it'll go up to 400 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, chicken wings. I used to fry the chicken wings like most of the restaurants around, but if you cook them for about an hour on 400 degrees and you don't have the oil, and you get nice crispy skin just like you would at a restaurant, and now with the pellet grill you also add the dimension of smoke flavor. So It's probably a toss-up between the Weber and the Traeger.
We've run out of time in this first segment. We got a lot more to talk about. Can you stick around for a few minutes, Greg?
I'd love to.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoke and hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspa's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspa's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspa's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspa's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspa's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Hi, friends. Randy Hames to tell you about Cellular and Satellite. Cellular and Satellite are specialists in wireless data plans for businesses. Because they buy in large quantities, Cellular and Satellite can give you a data plan on the same provider you're using today, but at a lower cost. Cellular and Satellite can also combine the two largest wireless providers into a single data plan. Two carriers with better coverage, but only one invoice to pay. If your workforce is international, Cellular and Satellite offers a global data SIM with fixed pricing in over 200 countries. You'll never have to pay international roaming charges again with Cellular and Satellite. And they can handle all your wireless data needs, whether you need 10 or 10,000 data SIMs. So if you're an IT professional, mobility manager, or business owner, save money and increase your network availability by letting Cellular and Satellite simplify your wireless life. Call Cellular and Satellite today, 832-551-1000, or go to cellularandsatellite.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
We're honored to be talking with our favorite foodie. His name is Greg Berlock. As we celebrate June as National Grilling Month, and we want to talk about some specific recipes for different dishes. But I also wanted to point out, that Greg is not only the executive producer of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, he also owns a company called Cellular and Satellite. What's that all about, Greg?
Randy, we provide cellular and satellite data communication solutions. A lot of our clients need connectivity in rural and remote locations. Those might be oil rigs, pipelines, people that have remote offices. But we also work with a number of companies right here in town that need alternate communications. So you think about your connectivity. Most people rely on the internet now as a very important tool, whether it's a real estate agency or, well, in fact, Edgewater Studios, right?
Mm-hmm.
You rely on that internet connection. And if the fiber-seeking backhoe were to cut that connection, you might lose a day, 2-3 days of full production. And most small businesses, that's a hardship. So what we work with are alternate connections. We would provide a diverse path into the business. So you have an A and a B route. And also, typically, we'll provide technology diversity. We might use one of the large cable TV companies for your terrestrial connection or one of the phone companies for your internet connection. But we can provide cellular backup at a very, very reasonable price and then primarily pay for that sort of service when you actually need it. So it's a belt and suspenders approach, but you pay as you go.
I like that, belt and suspenders. That's cool. So how can listeners who are interested in finding out more about cellular and satellite find you on the web?
Our web address is cellularandsatellite.com, all spelled out. And then if they want to reach out to us by phone, that's 832-551-1000.
And before we leave this subject matter, we know that you're primarily aimed at energy companies. So how are things in the oil patch these days?
The energy industry is still quite busy, Randy, with the price of oil around $50 to $60. That allows most companies to operate profitably. And there's still a lot of projects that got put on hold several years ago. There's a couple of really large mergers, acquisitions going on, and there's some consolidation going on as well. So I think you'll see a lot of activity, some up, some down, but there's going to be a lot of things happening over the next 6 months.
And I'd be a bad radio show host if I didn't ask, do you foresee any impact on the energy sector as a result of all these trade embargoes going back and forth between the United States and China? Or do you think all that stuff is overhyped?
No, I don't. Remember back when the price at the pump was $4 and diesel fuel was even higher.
Mm-hmm.
The geopolitical ramifications have huge impacts on the energy industry. So things like trade embargoes and things like that can have big impacts.
Let's get back to the subject at hand now. June is National Grilling Month. Not that we need a commemorative month to inspire us to cook outdoors. It's what we do around here. So let's compare some of those different cookers you own. We'll start by comparing charcoal grills and gas grills. Give us the advantages to charcoal versus gas.
Gosh, propane is just so easy to use. You often have an electric starter. You turn the knob, it clicks, and it lights all the way for you. Probably the biggest disadvantage is Murphy. You know, whatever can go wrong will go wrong, well, given time. And it seems like I only run out of propane when there's a major holiday. So, and you know, which means you have to run down to the store right when you're getting ready to cook or things like that. But if you buy two bottles, that solves that problem and you just rotate in the empty one when you need it. It's nice. It doesn't have the aroma. It lacks the wood smoke. Now you can change that. If you soak some wood chips, there are smoke boxes that you can buy. Mine is made out of cast iron and it has two pieces. So you soak the wood chips and put them in the smoke box, and then you put the smoke box in the propane grill as you're cooking. And as the cast iron gets hot, it causes the wood chips to smoke. And thereby, you can impart wood smoke in a propane grill.
I've also heard people talk about mixing in the wood chips among the charcoals themselves. Does that work?
You know, I've never tried that. I don't see why it wouldn't. As long as you have proper ventilation, you always have to be careful when you're working with charcoal because it puts out carbon monoxide. So it's something that you're tempted maybe to do it on the patio or where there's not a lot of good air circulation, but I don't see why that wouldn't work.
Well, now, charcoal grills also, you have to start the fire. That's one of the disadvantages.
True.
And back in the day when I used charcoal, we used lighter fluid, but now they got things called starter sticks. What are the advantages and disadvantages of each?
Well, there's a lot of people that claim that the fumes leave residue. Whenever I use a liquid charcoal lighter, I take the grill off, the grate, and let all that burn off. Certain people that don't like the liquid fuel claim that it still puts out, even though all of the fumes have gone, it still puts out some bad stuff that gets in your food. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but I've actually gone to away from the liquid and use a charcoal chimney. And also the starter sticks that you had referenced, you can buy those or you can make them yourselves. They're actually for the do-it-yourselfer. Starter sticks are very, very easy. If you have a cardboard box, you can literally cut that up into 2-inch squares and you go down to the store and you buy some paraffin. People that can things and make preserves, there's a paraffin wax called Gulf wax. You've probably seen it over the years, and you put it in a double boiler on the stove and you melt it like you were going to make a candle. And then you throw the cardboard in there and then pull it back out. And you basically create a candle, and that piece of cardboard is the wick.
Huh.
And you stick it in your charcoal and light it, and it'll burn for about 10 minutes. And that's enough to get your first pieces going. Another thing that I've been doing, I just use a charcoal chimney, which is a metal tube that has some holes around the bottom, and it holds your charcoal, and it's got a little recessed area. The challenge was is back in the day, we all took the newspaper.
Yeah.
Well, I read everything online now, so I don't have any paper. So I've been saving brown bags and things like that. If I buy a bottle of wine at the store, they always put it in a brown bag instead of chucking that in the trash. I'll use that now to light the charcoal with.
Well, let's talk about pellet grills for just a minute. You'd said that your wife gave you a pellet grill.
All right.
How do you think they compare to charcoal and gas grills?
Well, it's really superior if you're going to smoke something because you set it and forget it. It's very uniform. About the only negative that I've seen is that if you're trying to do it in the middle of February when it's cold, you may not be able to get the temperature up high enough that you would like. But it's so nice. And the thing that I've really enjoyed now is mixing the different types of wood. So you could do that with a stick burner as well. But the bags of pellets that you get at the store, it's very easy. You can go buy 4, 5, 6 different types. You can get hickory and oak and applewood and a variety of different types of wood. And you might want to blend it half and half of half cherry and half apple or mesquite and oak and kind of customize the smoke profile. So that's been kind of fun.
And cleanup is a big issue. We just got a few seconds. Which one of those, gas, charcoal, or pellet, do you think is the easiest to clean up?
Oh, I think propane by far. There's typically not much to clean up, and if there's a lot of grease, that's going to be equivalent in all of them. You know, you need to get that grease out of there. And if you don't, you're flirting with danger because you might have a big fire.
It's always a pleasure, not to mention informative, when we host our own executive producer here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, Greg Berlocker, who just also happens to double as our favorite foodie. So let's do this again sooner rather than later, okay?
It was fun. Thanks so much, Randy.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market. Just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video or a new website or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspaw at Allspaw's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspaw's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspaw's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspaw's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspaw's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspaws.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspaw's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
There are few people in this world I enjoy spending time with more than I do our regular guest in this last segment each week. He is my former Hudson & Harrigan partner on the radio, Fred Olson. How's it going, pal?
It's going good. I'm looking out the window, realize I got to get a bale of hay over to those cows today, and I got to mow that, and I got to take it. So thanks for breaking up my morning. I love that.
Well, how was your Memorial Day?
Really quiet. You know, we just took it easy, sat outside, read a book. Had a Bible study to complete for this week, and really nice. Just laid back day. Didn't go out on the road. Didn't try to cook stuff. We had so much food left over from family visiting. I said, let's just eat what we got in the fridge.
So Memorial Day has now turned into mattress sale day.
I'm just amazed at that. I've got some friends from church who are Vietnam vets, Marine, and one who's in the infantry. And to hear their stories, because this last Sunday at church, you were talking about, you know, D-Day, and then not that he was at D-Day, but he'd met a guy who'd actually lived through Omaha and Omaha Beach, which was just a killing field. And, you know, you hear that, and then you come home and go, 72 hours left in the great mattress sale for Memorial Day. It's like watching a newscast where they go, thousands die in plane crash. We'll be back after this word from my sponsor. And it made me think my uncles never talked about the war.
Yep.
And one was Uncle Jimmy was a tanker in North Africa.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, fought Rommel. And then my Uncle Donnie was one of the people who helped liberate, I don't know whether it was Birkenau or Auschwitz, you know. And then I found his uniform in my grandparents' attic. My Uncle Ralph was there, and I saw that 101 on his shoulder. It was 101st Screaming Eagle.
Wow. That's really odd, Fred, because you mentioned North Africa and 101st, and my dad was with Patton in North Africa.
Oh, wow.
Sicily, Italy, went all the way through France and into Germany. So he was in that same unit as well. And then my father-in-law was in the 101st Airborne, and he landed at Omaha, and he was caught in the Battle of Bastogne.
Wow. How many battle stars is that?
Yeah, and he never talked about that much. He did tell me one story. He was like your uncles. He didn't like to talk about the war, but he did tell me one story. He said they were caught in Bastogne, and they were surrounded by the Germans, and they just figured they were dead.
Sure.
And suddenly, Montgomery busted through the German lines and liberated Bastogne, and he said, I absolutely deplored the sound of bagpipes, but that day I danced a jig to the sound of bagpipes because it meant the Brits were coming to liberate Bastogne.
Oh, wow, that's a great story.
Yeah.
These men signed up, dropped everything, and went and fought, and they were kids.
Mm-hmm.
You went into the Army when you were what? 17, 18?
Well, no, I went in after college, so I was 21 when I got drafted.
Okay, so you had an education.
Yes.
So remember when you were kids, remember the poppies they would sell?
Oh, yeah.
And you'd wear it, and if you don't, folks have seen them this season, the poppy represents Flanders Field.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most horrific battles in the history of war. And, you know, they thought, well, there'll never be another battle like that. Boy, they were wrong. But anyway, it's just, it's quite an amazing day. And even as a kid, I'd lost a brother when I was a kid, and I was 2. I don't remember, but Jimmy was 4. And on that day, we would go to his grave, even though, it's about men who die in combat, men and women who die in combat.
Right.
To me, Memorial Day was anyone who had died when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, now it's become a mattress sale day, and we forget the real reason for Memorial Day.
You know, we laugh at that, but it's so true. I don't know how much solicitation I've got on my email today. Wayfair, final 72 hours, act now.
Wow.
We know what you've been looking at. Been looking at that outdoor rug. And, and I go, no, not today. I'm not going to buy anything today. No.
Yeah, and when I hear people say, thank a veteran on this Memorial Day, I always go, well, I'm a veteran, and I appreciate you thanking me, but that's not what today's all about. Today's all about the people who gave that last full measure of devotion, or whatever that line was.
Yeah, right. Well, I always think, it's John 15:12-13. First, Jesus says that, I command you. He didn't say, I suggest to you. He says, I command you to love each other as I have loved you. And then the next line is the greatest. Greater love hath no man than this, to lay down his life for his friends.
Yes.
And I pose this to you. No greater love has a man or a woman than to lay down their lives for their country. Not just for this country, but our servicemen and women protect other people. I mean, they protect other countries and other values and attempts at democracy. So that's my little quote for today.
Well, I'm sorry that we didn't touch on this last week when it was actually Memorial Day, but at least we got around to it. Also wanted to tell you, I talked to our old friend Andre Ware the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Won the Heisman Trophy at the U of H. And I recalled a story about his on-air partner, Mark Vandermeer.
Oh, yeah.
Who is the radio play-by-play voice of the Houston Texans. And I told Andre that Vandy would never call us Fred and Randy off the air, like virtually everybody else on the radio station.
Yeah.
And he told me why one time. He was afraid that if he got used to calling us by our real first names in the hallway, that he'd slip up and call us by our real first names on the air. So he still always called us Mac and Irv. He always called me Irv.
Well, there were people, you know, sometimes we'd be out at an event, you know, and we're probably just starting out. We go, oh, Hudson here again. Hey, it's great to meet you guys. Somebody go, hey, Fred, over here. And they go, who's Fred?
Who's Fred?
And I go, don't tell anybody, but Randy's Fred and I'm Randy.
Yeah.
What? No.
You know, I also remember another time we co-hosted the unveiling of the Texans team colors and logos. It was with the late Ron Stone, as a matter of fact. It was back in about 2001 or so. And Stone even said on stage, I'm just glad Hudson and Harrigan are here because that means I'm not the oldest guy on the stage.
Boy, that was a big deal. I remember that. Of course, I look at NFL stuff every day, even this time of year. Even the one of the biggest news is J.J. Watt's getting engaged.
Yeah.
You know, there you go. That's the big news. And go, oh, come on. There's going to be more to it than this. And, but no, so I'll take whatever I can get. See who else that maybe they can buy and bring on the team to protect Deshaun.
Well, I remember my son Derek and I attended that very first Texans home game. It was Reliant Stadium back then, now NRG. And it was against the hated Dallas Cowboys, you remember?
And we won.
Yeah, and one guy had a sign that read, 1-15 is okay, but just win this one.
And they did.
It was great, especially when Jerry Jones tried to speak and the crowd booed him off the stage.
Oh,
and then the highlight was watching our dear friend Clay Walker as he rode a zip line down from the top of the scoreboard. He landed on the 50-yard line, then he ran up on stage and he sang that fight song that they still use to this day.
Yeah.
And the next time he came to our studio to be on the air with us, I said, wow, that was really impressive. Did you rehearse that zip line thing? And he said, heck no, if I'd rehearsed that thing one time, I never would have done it. About halfway down, I thought I was going to die.
Yeah, that's when something bad happens right about that time. You go, bad idea.
But, well, football season's not that far away, my friend, but grilling season is already here. In fact, June is National Grilling Month, and we're almost out of time, but we want to talk about it for just a minute anyway. I talked to Greg Berlocker a few minutes ago, and he said that he admits to having 5 outdoor cookers in his backyard. One of them even has a dual purpose. So how many do you have right now?
Outdoor cookers that I use?
Mm-hmm.
I've got 1, 2, 3.
Okay, what are they?
One is gas. And one is that fajita cooker I use charcoal or wood in, and then I've got a pellet smoker that I love with an offset smoking cabinet on it. So we're getting ready. We're going to be smoking tomatoes for Bev's incredible hot salsa.
Which cooker do you kind of tend to use the most?
It depends on what I'm cooking. Ribs, I do offset on that charcoal cooker. I love offset ribs. This summer, it's going to be the pellet smoker.
We'll talk about cleanup for a few minutes, because cleanup is an important issue for all of us who like to cook outdoors.
Yeah.
Which cookers are the easiest to keep clean?
I think the pellet grill is pretty easy. Yeah, you pull the grills out, and I wrap everything. I put foil underneath everything, even to catch all the grease and all that kind of stuff. And then those things have a grease bucket where things flow into that. So I also, rather than have it go into the bucket, I also line that with tin foil so I can just pull that out and toss it later and not have a grungy bucket, because my dog thinks that's the most fascinating place in the barn. There's grease in there, and if I could just get my nose in that, I'd be throwing up all day. I love it.
I love it. Well, June is National Grilling Month, but June also means we're only a little over a month away from NFL training camp in July, so there's hope. You're saying there's a chance, huh? So hang in there, buddy. The Astros will keep us occupied in the meanwhile. I love you, Pard. Give my best to Bev. We'll talk next week when we are 1 week closer to a meaningless preseason game.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
How's about cooking something else?